Well, good morning. You are listening to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast, episode 156.
Did you fact check that first, or did you just go off that neither of us responded?
I'm pretty sure it's 156. Season 2, episode 2. Should I start saying welcome to episode 2 of season 2?
Well, for today, you should start saying that, but next week, okay, it's so 3.
Good morning, and welcome to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. This is episode 2 of season 2. Oh. That's pretty good.
That was good.
Morning. Corlin is with me.
Hello, hello.
And Cameron.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. All right. You got your Blue Jays hat on. Do you actually care about the Blue Jays?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just ask because every time I have a Blue Jays sweater and every time I wear it, even strangers in public are like, hey, how about the pitcher Jubiju or whatever his name is? I'm like, I actually don't watch baseball.
Yeah, I don't go out of my way to watch it, but Ernie's just had a hat that fit.
Exactly. It's a good logo.
I got a big melon.
I got a big melon.
Size 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we got a good topic for today. Let's move on from that. We got a topic today about joking, humor. I'll just read some. There's just a bunch of thoughts written down here. Oftentimes, humor comes from laughing at someone else's expense. I.e. bullying, gossip, which I don't think that's the same thing. Even slapstick humor. Where do we draw the line where humor is no longer glorifying God? Like, is there a... I guess what this person is saying is like, is joking around, is humor okay? And then this person said, are there jokes in the Bible? Like, are there examples of biblical characters cracking a joke? And maybe even at someone else's expense? Like, I don't know. Where do we draw the line? Is there a hard and fast line like, okay, now that's too far. Like we're entering into sin territory, or how do we approach humor? I think anyone who listens to the podcast know that the three of us are very serious and we do not appreciate joking.
Pretty dry.
Pretty dry.
I'm actually allergic to laughing.
Yeah, this person said it's so hard to stay in the middle ground for humor because when you're having a good time, sometimes the humor just tips over into the crude side. What's a good balance? How do we kind of approach this? I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts? I think bottom line, we can say like we're all trying not to laugh. I have no issue with humor. I'm a very lighthearted person. If you go to our church, you'll know that oftentimes, even in my sermons, man, Siri, okay, can I just say, this is an aside.
On a serious note.
Lately, I think she's just been going, I have an Apple Watch, but she's just been going crazy.
She just wants to help,
listening,
man.
And then I was talking to my sister, like just on their front porch, I can't remember, about some video that I saw. And then, like, that night, she just was looking, and that exact video I was describing came up. I'm like, they're listening.
Well, did you see there's, like, a class action lawsuit for iPhone users for Siri?
Is it really?
Yeah, for anyone since 2014 or something like that, because they've activated more listening. Get your tinfoil hats on, people. That's not a joke. It's not a joke.
We're not joking. So, anyways, back to, no issue with joking around. Like I said, if you come to our church and you've heard my sermons occasionally, if it's, I shouldn't even say, like, just sometimes the humor slips out and it's not in my notes. I'm not trying to be like, you know, yeah, in this point,
we get like a hint of real.
Hold for applause or hold for laughter. Sometimes it just happens because I just see the humor in things. I have been accused. This was years ago. This person doesn't go to our church anymore. Because of this reason, that humor is inappropriate in church. And they said, especially they accused me of, like making fun of other people. So I think I said a comment about vegetarians or something like that, you're making fun of other people to get a laugh. And then they even said like self-deprecating humor, the idea of like, I'm making fun of myself. That's harmful and you shouldn't do that. And so there's a whole range of like, you know, what's appropriate, what's not. For me, I'm going, I didn't actually see anything wrong with that, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Where do you guys
I take a quick pause when I see things like, is it, when is it not glorifying God? And I do understand the origin of that kind of comment, but I was thinking about when I'm cutting the grass and doing the yard work, like, I don't have it on the forefront of my mind. Like, in this action, I am glorifying God. But I think that who we are in the overview of our lives should glorify God. But I think you're right. There's that I've caught myself in levels of humor that I think are very innocent and fun.
Sure.
I have forums where I flow differently.
That's such a polite way to say.
I mean, because a lot of folks in my professional life don't see that because it's just not appropriate. There's
sure.
Like, I believe strongly in time and place. I believe strongly in audience. I've had to tell, like, I like political humor. I like poking, personally, I like poking at big things that might be otherwise kind of hard to navigate. But I do that with a very select few people. I wouldn't meet someone new and then talk about
sure.
something like that because I just would want to gauge the room a little bit. I've had two people in my life where I've had to ask them to not joke with me like that. Like,
can you not send
can you not? Like, because I, yeah. from my past, like I, you know, before serving God fully, I have a couple open doors that I had to close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty far threshold, but. Yes. Just for my own, that's where I think the sinful line is. It's like, well, that's really like raunchy, sinful. It's gross or derogatory, like, or like really foul language. That's yeah. probably where my line is. Cause it, I don't know. I just don't think the line's the same for everyone, but I think you'll feel it. Like, you definitely mm-hmm. know, but I don't think that. Yeah. Corlin, why don't you jump in before we get too
yeah.
far into it?
Yeah. I think for me, like when you sent the question and I started asking, I started running through my mind of all the things that I've heard about humor growing up as a Christian and stuff. And I mean, even the classic things of like, I don't know, you see a bird that looks kind of silly. And I remember having Christians say the classic line of like, see, that's proof that God has a sense of humor because he made a silly looking bird.
Platypus.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like, yeah, something like that. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I would argue that they're probably more beautiful than humorous. I mean, do animals do humorous things? Yeah, Aaron and I watched a video of a dog dragging its entire bed onto its owner's bed so that he could sleep there at night. That's humorous. It's quite funny. But again, I think that humor, and I could, maybe I'm wrong. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts on this. I think humor does kind of inevitably toe a line of being borderline offensive. Because it humor, generally speaking, at least in my opinion, it will hit on points in our lives that are relatable. Things yep. that we see happen, things that we know could happen. And so then humor for us in whatever context of life you're living in, it's got to resonate with you somehow, which means that there is going to be personable things in yeah. humor more often than not. Obviously... we say, obviously, he's looking, whoever sent in the question is looking for like a hard and fast line. I think if you're doing it and you notice that someone is uncomfortable with your humor
yeah,
and you continue towing that line.
Sure.
I would argue that's sinful.
Yeah. No, because you're not thinking of, especially if they're another Christian, let's say like a brother, sister. Because you're not taking into account their own sanctification. And so yeah. like you said, Cameron, like, yeah, there's certain people that you're like, yeah, I'm not going to send this funny meme to because I know that they're not going to take it the right way.
Yeah.
And it's just knowing.
Or they don't understand me and they don't know I'm actually.
Sure. Yeah.
Don't believe in it.
So I do think, Gordon, like you said, I think there is an area that as Christians we're like, yeah, we probably shouldn't go there just because we know that there's nothing like redeeming
yeah.
about this.
Yeah. Right?
I think of Ephesians 5 came to mind where Paul says, like, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. And again, you could just draw a hard line, but I think you're right, Cameron, depending on where people are at in their sanctification, depending on how long they've been a believer, there are variables.
Yeah.
But if you're like, hey, there's this rated R sex comedy that's full of terrible things, should we go see it in the movie theaters? It would probably be like, no, that seems like it's clearly out of line.
Yeah.
Or I think of, I've heard of some Christians who went to some comedy shows on vacation. Oh, we heard this guy's hilarious. And they go in and it is just the worst.
Yeah.
And they just got up and left.
Yeah.
Because they're like, it's not like, oh yeah, he said one joke that, ugh.
Yeah.
But everything else was really funny. It was just kind of like, I just feel dirty being here. I just gotta get out of here. Like, I think there are clear things that you're like, this seems out of bounds. But then, like you said, so for instance, the whole idea of like, often humor comes from laughing at someone else's expense. Yeah, for sure. And sometimes that's really funny. So,
but I wonder if all humor is kind of balanced with some sort of discomfort. Because a dog bed thing, it's pretty funny. But Buddy's probably sick of his dog.
Yeah.
So you're kind of laughing at the guy's inconvenience. Like, sucks to be you because your dog's...
2 a.m. and your dog's making a huffing noise trying to get into the
like
bed.
Like, every night. Yeah. That guy's life sucks. We think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I think, too, like, depending on the relationship you have with people, like, my sister and brother-in-law live in town, and there is playful teasing.
Yeah.
But if my brother-in-law ever came to me and was like, actually, it, like, really... bothers me and blah blah blah. Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But that we actually enjoy it when there's this playful teasing that goes back and forth at each other's expense.
Yeah.
But we know that it's not, oh, you're a bully and you're actually trying to like destroy me. It's like, no, it's actually this affectionate, even my parents do that. Like there's this affectionate teasing. Or something will happen, and then we'll give a gift related to that. Remember the thing that happened, and we all laugh, and it's like it's funny, right? But it's not like if I just met someone in the church, and you know they tripped walking down the aisle going to the pew, and then I got them a shirt that said like "walk much." Like I wouldn't do that because I don't have a relationship with them.
Yeah,
I might do that with my sister because there's this like, oh man,
maybe relationships the difference with that kind of humor, and
perhaps
if you're in a.
Or even just the personality they have. If it's like there, so I'll give you another example. There was a person in the church that came to, this is years ago, walked into like one of those newcomer things that we had.
Yeah.
And they had been attending for like a year. And so I playfully was like, what are you doing here? Just trying to get some free snacks?
Not right.
Didn't go over well because I think they took it as, oh, you're just like, being mean or calling me out or so I was like, okay, fair enough. Like, I didn't gauge the, we don't have a relationship that's like really deep that I can.
Yeah.
And they would go like, oh yeah, you're right. Busted. Right. Yep. It was just like, oh, and they felt really awkward. So, okay. It's just knowing where am I at with this person?
So I can hear a question from the peanut gallery.
Sure.
Wondering like,
he just made fun of the listeners.
I did.
Love it.
The peanut gallery.
I can hear the question come up. If you're talking about joking in different ways with different people, is it being two-faced of us if we can enjoy certain humor with some people and not with others? Because I know some of the humor that I've enjoyed that personally I don't feel convicted is wrong or sinful. I can guarantee 110% there'd be people in the church that would be unhappy if they realized that that's the kind of humor that I enjoyed or that anyone enjoyed in the church.
Yeah.
So is it two-faced to do that? Or is it like what we're talking about where it's discerning and potentially wise? Obviously, if it's crude and crass, like what you were saying, it's not in the ballpark of acceptable. But if you're able to enjoy that humor and then be around people who don't enjoy that humor and then not share that experience.
Like, I don't think it's two-faced. I think it's relational, too, because if you think of Sunday morning, you're walking around church, like I'll have different conversations with some because I know them, but I'll be kind and cordial to everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm not, well, I am picking and choosing based on relationship. And I think that just is how we do every aspect of our life. I think I test waters, but like I wouldn't, like, you know, just the other day I sent a video, I think I sent it to you, Andrew, where it's like, come Sunday, the hugging person at church, and it was like someone doing a flip and throwing someone yes. over. It's like
the overly affectionate person,
like know, the full body hugger,
the karate movie. Or whatever.
He's like, how to deal with the hugger at church. And if I saw someone in the lobby hugging, I wouldn't go, hey,
you wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that to them yeah. or show them the video. But I sent it to another pastor friend of mine in Smithers, and he's like, oh man, I've got that person who gives me that hug every Sunday, and it'll be hard not to think about it. yeah. But he's a very caring pastor also yeah. of his church, and he probably gives that person the full body yeah. hug. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's two-faced. I think it's using wisdom and discernment. I mean, this is not related to humor, but Paul even says, like, okay, to the Jew, I became like a Jew.
Yeah.
To the Gentile, I did this. And you could say, well, like, Paul, you're not being your true self. But he's like, no, I'm using wisdom, depending on the audience that I'm with, in order to reach more people. I realize he's not talking about humor.
Yeah.
But it's just another scenario where you could go, like, we're supposed to be the same exact person with every audience that we're with. And I think Paul would go, no, that's not true. Like,
yeah.
If I'm going to a Jew's house, I'm not going to eat meat because why would it? But Paul, you're not being true to yourself. Paul yeah. doesn't operate that way. So I think there's just wisdom in knowing, will this person share the same humor that I have? Maybe not. But so even I'll share just as being a pastor, you just have to be really careful and wise, right? And so I appreciated when Cam moved here because he was in ministry. Like, you're still in ministry. You know what I mean? He was in full-time ministry. we're all in ministry. I get it. But here was a guy that understood, like, yeah, there's certain things you can't say at the Salvation Army when you're the director that you could... And I could be, this is not what I mean, but I can be myself with Cameron
yeah.
and with certain people that, and again, I know what it sounds like. Oh, you're not being true. But there's certain people that you have to be more on guard with the things that you say.
Yeah.
Just because there's just an expectation. So even David at Creekside, if you know David, he jokes around maybe more than he should. But when you're a pastor, there's certain things that you just can't, I just can't do that because, you know, you have 400 adults and you just don't know, you can't gauge all, there's just inappropriate things, right?
Yeah.
For certain contexts. But then to joke, me and David joke around all the time and we joke about being a pastor and we joke about congregational things that are frustrating, but I would never stand up and just be like, I'm now going to roast all of you.
This week's sermon is a comedy
session. There has to be some kind of like release because you're right. Like there is the overly affectionate person that you just have to hug and it just, and it's funny. Like it's funny, but I would never joke with them because that would be super damaging because they don't mean it that way, but they're just going to give me way too long of a hug on Sunday. Okay. And it's uncomfortable, but whatever. But I would never be like, hug much or to them.
Yeah.
Because that would just hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
It's interesting. In at work, we often have folks who are called into the office for inappropriateness, and we have a very robust, respectful workplace policy. And one person said to me, it's just who I am. That's how I speak. And I'm like, that's all fine and well. But while you're here being paid by us,
you just can't speak like
this. This is actually how we're telling you to speak. And it was like an older individual who recently retired because they just found themselves in a space where the world is different. I have to read the room. I have to know my audience. I have to adjust the way I speak, joke. Yeah. And it's really difficult for some. I guess that the flip side is also that, you know, for an older individual, it might be hard to compartmentalize that. But for a younger person trying to grow in their role or in their career or in ministry, or if they're new to a place, it may be that I want to be liked and this is who I am. And I think I remember being young and I remember making a lot more mistakes than I do now.
Yeah.
Just in trying to find my place. And I think that, yeah, I don't know.
I think humor is kind of a double-edged sword when it comes to your social context is like when you're meeting people, it's like you said, you'll put feelers out, and it's the kind of thing where I think that that's perfectly normal in the human psyche to be able to do that, where you're interacting with people and you'll put a feeler joke out to kind of see like, are we on the same wavelength? Do we think the same? And if you're unable to read that room, and this is where even what I said earlier, I'll stand by. If you say something that you think is funny, and the person that you're saying it around reacts in a way that they did not find that funny, you should probably stop there.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's not because you're trying to be two-faced, but out of respect for that person, why would you keep pushing that line? Right?
Yep.
There I think becomes the sin issue with humor, is that people will continue to poke and prod. So you'll see, And I don't envy their position, but for example, comedians, if they get a heckler, often that heckler becomes the focus of the show, and all they do is they heckle that person right back, making that person incredibly upset.
Yeah.
And I mean, people make their millions off of that, but maybe a more Christian response would actually just be, hey, if this isn't for you, it might be time to leave, because we're going to keep going.
Yeah, I think it's like what you said. It's just thinking of the other person. You know, Paul's not talking about humor, but he, you know, he uses the example of eating meat, and he's like, if it offends someone, I just won't eat meat.
Yep.
So you could almost say, like, you know, and I'm not saying let's rewrite scripture, but just think about if Paul was here, hey Paul, can you weigh in on humor? And he might say, you know, if joking offends someone, I won't joke with that person. Oh, okay. That seems like a very easy fix.
Yep.
You know,
And if that person is offended by humor, they will likely not come to my home anymore, and that would be fine. Right? Like that's the relational part of it. And I think in our society, we often inject ourselves in environments where we don't feel comfortable, and we want the environment to change rather than leaving and finding a new environment.
Yep.
It's a delicate one.
But, yeah, there's definitely a tension there, because I've been a part of, I've seen it play out where certain groups are not comfortable for someone, and there is an element where it's like, okay, what's being said or done isn't necessarily wrong. Like, you're okay here. But also there's elements where it's like, okay, everyone else, we could just calm down like a notch or two. Like it actually wouldn't be wrong for that either. So I really do think that it is, my mom brings this up all the time, and I cannot remember the scripture verse. So sorry, Mom, but, it's that passage where we are called to esteem others more highly than ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's a good place to start when you're in a social setting and you're trying to make some funnies. And if it's not playing out well, then esteem the other people more highly than yourself. Instead of trying to gain that laugh, instead of trying to cut that social tension and be the guy or the gal that can do that, maybe have a conversation instead of just joking. Right. Like,
So are there any examples in the Bible? Does God have a sense of humor? Are there examples in the Bible of like biblical characters having a sense of humor?
Yeah, I came in and said it right away just because we were reading through the Old Testament.
Let's read the actual passage, not the words you said.
So this is Elijah's is a sarcasm in 1 Kings 18:27. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened."
That's exactly how he would have said it.
Maybe.
Yeah, totally.
But I think it's so, like, it's mocking. And so this is a God-fearing man mocking non-God-fearing men. Yeah. So it's pretty funny, because as a founding father of the, you know, the faith, we just see this example of, where's your God?
Maybe he's on the toilet.
He's taking a big dump, right? Like, yell louder, he's probably sleeping. And you think that invoked a response
of context, like these people are like cutting themselves and screaming, trying to get Baal to send fire, and those are the words that he says. Like, that's
like, talk about it, like poking and prodding and being rude. But at the same time, maybe it was captured. Maybe the scribe captured it a lot more dignified than it was. Like, I don't know. So that was a pretty funny example. There was this few that I saw around hyperbolic humor or exaggerated or just absurdity. This one site I found was talking about even Jesus in some of the stories talking about like something that, you know, is like funny and absurd. Like, where's the next one? Oh, in Matthew 19:24, and just a story of like camel going through the eye of a needle. Like, yes. It's just this picture of like, are you like,
what?
Right. And it's almost like this display of like, it's so hard, but the example he gives is not like something thoughtful. It's like, you're out to lunch. There's no hope for you. Like there's no chance. And that's not leaving this feeling of warmth and peace. It's kind of like poking at that. Another example that was a bit, I haven't unpacked it fully. But when Jesus is talking about response to Romans, and it's like, if they ask you to carry their equipment for a mile, do it for two. It's kind of funny because the Jewish law did not, or the Roman rules did not allow for them to do that. So it'd almost be like sarcastic where Jesus was like, oh, they want you to carry this, offer to do it for a second time, or for a second kilometer or mile. And there's one Jewish, one of our Jewish professors was like, it wasn't allowed. Like a Roman couldn't do that without getting in trouble. So it's like, why would Jesus suggest that? Because their own rules on how they could treat Jewish slaves or the oppressed people.
Yeah.
It's like, you can get anyone to do this for you for a kilometer. You can slap them with your backhand, but not your forehand. And he's like, I don't know, but turn the other cheek. It's kind of cheeky and kind of rude because a Roman would not do that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't smack you honorably like they might their wife.
Yeah, it's kind of a there's two factors to what he's saying, right? Because those actions probably would catch a Roman soldier's attention. Yeah,
sure.
But also it is kind of a like, I mean, like that's kind of funny, right? Like I am remembering that there was a book that I was reading on the art of biblical narrative and how the authors actually used it to communicate to an audience and how we're humans and use literature to do that. It's a really tough book to read. I don't suggest it to everyone because I have to use a dictionary like twice a page. It's rough. But the story where the one king is assassinated and the sword slips into his gut and it like folds
swallows
in. And,
it, yeah.
I mean, I've only ever heard sermons on how it's like that guy was really fat. And they just leave it there.
And he's in the bathroom.
And he's in the bathroom. And it's like, haha, like they found him and it really stank because he died while he was going to the bathroom. And and that's about where people leave it. But he was, this gentleman, a Jewish scholar, was pointing out that like, you have to think of the socio-political economy that's happening in that time. It was probably quite hilarious to the Hebrews to think of their enemy as this fat lard on a toilet getting killed and like it's actually potentially humorous. So we read that and we're like, factual. Yes, of course this happened. Move on. But like, you have to realize that these were people reading this text during that time. Probably was pretty funny. It was honestly probably similar to some of the political jabs that newspapers will do with the caricatures of our leaders in whatever country you're in. It was similar to that. It's meant to garnish. It was probably meant to garnish a bit of a chuckle at least at thinking of that.
Yeah, there's Isaiah 44. There's another example where Isaiah, and this is like God speaking through Isaiah, showing how foolish idolatry is. And it's the story where he says like, oh yeah, a guy cuts down a tree and then uses half of it to make a fire to cook his food. And then the other half of the same tree, he makes an idol and bows down to it and deliver me, for you are my God. And the way it's written, it's like, do you see how stupid that is? It's one tree and you're killing half of your God to make your food. And then you're carving an idol and saying that tree was my God. Right. And the way it's written, it's like, that's pretty dumb. I'm just scrolling on a few. There's a website that has.
Genesis, God's own irony. So 18:12-15. So Sarah laughed at herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall we still have pleasure? Which is pretty funny. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for I was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh.
No, but you did.
So Sarah to God, like, I'm old, he's old, how are we supposed to make a child? I didn't laugh. Yeah, God said, you did laugh.
Yeah, you did, though. So yeah, I think we have examples of
Balaam's donkey speaking. Balaam's was a pretty funny one.
Hilarious. So many of the things that,
what have I done? He struck me three times. Am I not your donkey? That's pretty funny.
So there's stuff that God does that you're like, yeah, this is humorous.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's ancient humor, so it's different than ours, so we wouldn't read it that way. But even some of the stuff Paul writes in Galatians, like, oh yeah, those guys who are telling you to get circumcised, I hope they emasculate themselves. Like, it's like that's pretty, like,
there's probably some people laughing and
like, oh man, did he just say that? Like, so, and then there's just stuff that God does,
which is essentially saying, I hope they go and cut their own stuff off.
Yeah, all the way. Just finish the whole thing. Like, that's what he's saying. That's pretty, that's funny.
And it's not to be a sacred, holy eunuch or a slave. It's like, if that's what they're talking about, they should go cut off their manhood.
Yep. So I think there's examples that we have of humor being used. And then, like you mentioned, like, there's just stuff that God does that is funny. Like, I think it's meant to be, a donkey delivers a message to Balaam because he just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
That's funny that God has to do that. Like, there's just examples. And then I think, too, even in some of the stuff that Jesus says and does, it doesn't translate into the text because, again, it's ancient culture.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff you mentioned, and we wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
But, like, even some of the nicknames that Jesus gives his disciples, like, it's funny. You guys are going to be called the Sons of Thunder now. That's hilarious. That's funny, right? Yeah. These guys who are, let's call down lightning and destroy these
they have
villages.
A bit of an attitude.
And it's like, okay, you guys are the Sons of Thunder now. And then he calls Peter, like, Little Rock. Like, there's just funny things that Jesus does.
You know what? Another prime example, John referencing that he himself won the foot race to the tomb.
Great.
But like,
he's writing his
he's writing
and the
his
other
gospel.
Disciple beat Peter to the tomb.
Yeah.
Me.
Peter Scripture reads it like forever. Months later, like, bro, like, what did he do?
Well, even Mark writes
that's
that
a jab at someone.
One of
personally.
The disciples, when he ran away, left his cloak and ran away naked. And he's jabbing at the, like, right. It's not named which disciple, but as they're passing it around, it's kind of like,
yeah.
Do you remember when you did that? Yeah. Like, there's just humor in the text that I think sometimes we read it and we miss it because it's not like our humor.
I think we approach the Bible very much like the golden tablets that fell down from heaven. And so you can't, it's not meant to be humorous, so don't find it funny.
Yep.
And I think we miss the mark a little bit if we don't realize that this was also written by humans with very human experiences and
or
God
out of the mouth of God.
Like, yeah.
Oh, you're going to look at that speck in your their eye? What about the log coming out of your face? Right?
Yeah.
Like,
that's
pretty funny.
A lot of Jesus' parables and his teachings. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because you like visualize it, which they would have. That's funny.
Yeah.
Someone has a little sawdust in their eye. Let me help you with that. As there's like a giant 2x4. It's meant to evoke humor because you're going, but then Jesus uses humor to then, oh man,
yeah,
like, and in some of the preaching stuff that I've the training that you do for there is a point when you use an illustration, like, Jesus is a master at this obviously, but there's a point where you use an illustration and it gives your audience a little bit of relief from hammering them with truth, and then let me illustrate it. And we all laugh, but then it's like, oh,
but
man.
That's you.
And that illustration, boom, hits. And there's an art to it. And Jesus, obviously, because he's God, is amazing.
I think he practiced.
He probably.
I'm not kidding. I bet you when he did a lot of walking. You don't think he had time to talk to himself about what he thought would land?
Maybe.
So what do you guys think is the other side of this conversation? What does it look like if you're someone who has been offended by a joke? Because I think we can talk, like, us three, we like to toe the line of, like, maybe a bit too much, right?
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. I did.
Yes, you're right.
But I think then for us and others, like, for us, we might like to talk about the, like, yeah, we'll have a sense of humor because it's funny and you know, everybody will just not be funny with you then if you don't find it funny.
Sure.
But what about the opposite side where you're somebody who maybe you're friends with one of us or maybe you're friends with someone else who always thinks things are funny, but you don't find them funny? How do you navigate that side of it?
I'm glad you brought that up. I think it does go both ways. But What are you laughing at? Oh, not
there are like pretty graphic humor and dark humor in the Old Testament. Again,
he's still scrolling.
Ezekiel drops a pretty heavy one, and I'm gonna read it because it is the word of the Lord.
Oh, I know. Let me guess, 23.
But I mean,
verses 18 to 20. I know exactly what you're reading for sure.
Yet she increased her whoring, remembering the days of her youth when she played the whore in the land of Egypt and lusted after her lovers there, whose members were like those of donkeys and whose emission was like that of horses.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
Like, that is pretty crude. And there are several people, maybe even some listening, who are even offended by those words. I literally read from the Bible app.
Yeah, we could read it and then go, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Like, that is obviously putting a harsh picture in place for those who were living in sin. And I bet there were some in the crowd who really found that offensive and maybe even thought Ezekiel not to be a man of the Lord. Like,
unsubscribe. I'm not following this.
Right? But so that's not the example that you're sharing. And I mean,
yeah.
And thus says the Lord, here's this joke, and if you don't like it, beat it. But if you're a person who is offended by that, I think make your statement and maybe it's received well, or maybe you need to remove yourself from that environment. And an example that's actually quite relevant would be our life group, for example. Our life group meets weekly. We do dinner. It's messy. It's loud. Kids everywhere. And my favorite life groups are the times where we literally just do life. And sometimes we don't crack the Bible at all in our weekly life group. But it's like such a refreshing time, at least for our family, when it happens, because it's like just stopping of everything. And when I talk at work about, oh, I got to get out of here right away, I got to go and grab a chicken or something, there, it actually confuses them. It's like, every week, like, you just meet with random people? And I'm like, yeah, it's our life group. There's probably like four or five families.
Yeah.
And we just eat together every week. And it's like so profound to the world. But there have been folks who've come and left because I think they were looking for us, a in-depth study, and they thought they'd get one from Pastor Andrew, like a slip-in extra church service. And it's not happening in our life group. And I think there's a very valuable time and place for that. But I think, I know for a fact there's been maybe a couple that have come and gone just because they were looking for something. They needed a different environment, and maybe they needed something a little more serious, and maybe they're navigating something. I'm looking at you, but I'm not talking about you and Aaron.
Yeah. I'm like nodding my head.
Yeah. You're like, yeah.
No, I think it was even before you guys. And we've been, we've had this kind of core life group for like maybe six years. But it's a breath of fresh air for us.
Sure.
But it may not be if you're looking for a liturgical, you want to read through it. Yep. And we've done that, but.
So I don't know. I'll share a personal story. Like, even amongst us three, there's been times where the joking has gotten a bit much.
Yeah.
And so then off the record, not in front of the mics so that you guys could hear it, so the audience could hear it, I actually did approach you guys and I was like, hey.
Was that 6 months ago, 8 months ago, something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, and I was like, the way this has been playing out, I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
I love jokes, but there's something that it's not sitting right with me, and I've tried to push past, but something's not right. And you guys actually very respectably listened, and I would argue that our humor hasn't changed, but some of the execution of the jokes is different.
Sure.
And I've grown to genuinely really appreciate them again, right? And so I think as, if you're a Christian in a group that is making jokes that you're not comfortable with, I actually think you do have a lot of grounds to call out your brothers and sisters on it. But to remember that, like, very rarely in our world does calling them out from a high and mighty position work out well.
Right.
And I think oftentimes, especially when it comes to something like joking or humor, it's actually, in my opinion, it's appropriate to lay it on the table, like, hey, this is how I see this. And if it's not received well, then it might be okay to actually remove yourself from that area.
For sure.
If they're not willing to change, if you genuinely think that the joking has tipped into a sinful area and people are not willing to see that.
Yep.
I got a good joke for you once we're done with this one.
Okay.
off
the record.
I've held back three since you've been talking.
But I think you're right, because I think sometimes Christians are like, I have to be best friends with all other Christians. That's just not true. Sometimes you're like, we don't get along. I still love you.
Yeah.
But we don't have to be best friends and hang out.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
But you also can't let hatred stir up in your heart because of those things.
No, of course not. Yeah, that's not what I'm... Yeah, I didn't mean that. Like,
I didn't think you did. I'm just saying, because it's easy to do.
Yeah, but it's that idea of like, oh, this... Our personalities, we're not going to hang out all the time, but I can still love you as a brother, sister in Christ, and just realize that, yeah, we're in a different place. I think, too, like, the longer you follow Jesus and you're sanctified, I think your humor and what you find funny changes. So if I'll give an example, like, there's a show called New Girl. It's like 15 years old, like something like that. And my wife and I watched it 10 years ago, maybe, the series. And there's a lot of funny parts in it, but there's a lot of like sexual humor. And 10 years ago, we watched all 7 seasons or whatever it was.
While you're candidating to come up here.
Yeah, for sure. Sinners. And at that point, you would just kind of like, okay, yeah, that part's not funny, but there's other funny parts. So we tried just last year. Hey, remember that show? Like, let's try watching it again. And just had to stop. Because I think over 10 years, the Lord, by his grace, has like sanctified us. And it was like, I can't even just like watch it and not laugh at that part and be okay with it. It actually like bothers me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we just can't. I think we got through a season and it was just kind of like, I just feel yucky. I just can't watch this. And so we just didn't.
Yeah.
So there's like, I think there's, that will happen. There's growth. And I've talked to other people that they're like, yeah, I can remember laughing at that 5 years ago. And now it actually just bothers me. Oh, yeah, that's great. That's actually, I think that's a good sign that you're growing.
Yeah.
And stuff that maybe you would have laughed at, now God has sanctified you. And you're like, oh, it actually just bothers me because it's sinful. So I think there's part of that too. Like, so maybe you're at a place where someone else is a new believer, and I don't need to come down hard on every single aspect of your life. You're being sanctified.
Yeah.
And so God's working in this area, and maybe in 10 years you'll be in a way different place. Okay. We can just show grace to each other. Right.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love. Life's not about avoiding the rain. It's about learning to dance in the storm or whatever. Have you seen those videos of the guy that goes to like Hobby Lobby or those craft stores, but then he says all the signs and like,
that's <right. laughs> that's so good. Yeah.
All our memories are made in the kitchen.
I love
it. It's so good. That's offensive. Any other final things?
Oh man, put it on a mug. Yeah.
There we go. Any other things you want to talk about? This has been
ending strong.
Ending strong. Wah, wah, wah. Anyways, I will say we've this is the last question we had sent in. So unless you want another 4 months of silence, please send your
400 years of silence.
Yeah, we enjoy doing the podcast, and so we'll probably come up with something for next week.
Oh yeah,
but for sure, if you're listening and you have other questions or topics or things like that. And it could even be something like we did on episode 2 and we all forgot about it and we can do it again. Because I don't think everyone's like Pamela, who will go back and listen to all 156 episodes, which is incredible.
Yeah.
But please email me, andrew@npmbchurch.com. If you have questions or if you know us, you can just text us or ask us. And episode 156. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.